Hello Mzanzi, welcome to another episode of Farmers Inside Track. My name is Duncan Masiwa and I'm your host for this episode. South Africa's forestry sector is a significant contributor to employment and rural development, offering numerous career opportunities. In this episode, Norman Dlamini, Business Development Director at Forestry South Africa, delves into the current production levels, market trends, and overall performance of the forestry sector. The episode also showcases inspiring stories of individual growers and forestry companies in South Africa, highlighting the key factors that have contributed to their success. Norman, welcome to Farmers Inside Track.
Good day, Duncan. Thanks for welcoming me here.
It's definitely great to have you. What is the current state of South Africa's forestry industry in terms of production? Maybe you can also look into market trends and just the overall performance of it.
Duncan, it's very easy for me to spew figures, but I think it is much better to just get an understanding of what the sector looks like so that we can read those figures or analyze those figures in relation to what the sector looks like. So currently, commercial plantation forestry in South Africa is contained within 1% of the land space that we have. So that's about 1.2 million hectares out of the 122 million hectares of land that we have in South Africa. So I think that's an important figure so you understand where we work from. We use about 5% of the water that is used by the entire agricultural sector. Those two figures are important, then we can look at them at the production and so on. I'll use last year's figures just to give you total volumes of our production and so on. The year started very well, but it slowed down in the second half of the year, mainly due to almost a collapse of the rail and port operations because most of our product travels through the rail system. Also, the energy crisis did have a little impact on our figures for last year. We also had a very devastating fire in one of our chipping plants around the coastal city of Richards Bay. So those three, plus the depressed global pulpwood price, changed a bit of what we normally expect in a year's production in forestry. So total volume of timber that was produced last year is about 13.3 million tons, which is 4.3% lower than what we did in 2022. We're supposed to move up high. And now look at the composition of that. 9 million of that was pulpwood, which was also lower than last year. 3.5 million of that was saw logs, which was also lower than last year. Mining timber is the only one that was higher than last year at 286,000 tons. Poles were also lower than last year. And then we had a new in nomina we are not expecting. We call the rest of other products, we just call them other. We don't specify what they are. So last year we saw a huge rise in that figure, which is 157,000 tons, which about 25% higher than the previous years. What that meant, when we analyzed that closely, it said to us that there was a huge demand for biofuels. So this is a new product that is really coming strongly, and we think that it will continue because people are beginning to think green energies and so on. So we've produced a lot of biofuels in 2023. So that's how the production looks like. So it's a little bit lower than 2022, but because of all things that I just mentioned. So that is where we are. Market trends, we align with the rest of the world. It sounds like the rest of the world was also constrained, but due to the global pulpwood prices, the rest is our own things in South Africa, which put us a little bit lower than the rest of the world. But that's where we are. So overall performance, I would say we didn't do so bad because we're like 4% lower than last year. And we think with changes in the few things that I've mentioned, we'll be able to go back to our normal figures. Under normal circumstances, like figures for 2019, we would sit at 18 million tons per year across our products. That is average performance.
It's definitely interesting to see the different dynamics when it comes to the forestry industry and despite those challenges that you've mentioned, there seems to be some positive movement in the industry. Now, personally, I'm quite curious to know, with the biofuel opportunities or the increase in the biofuel industry, I'm wondering if growers are also moving into that direction and exploring agro-processing opportunities. But perhaps a conversation for another day. Compare our industry to other countries. How does South Africa's forestry industry compare to other countries in terms of size and maybe specifically the diversity of products?
I always like to compare ourselves with our BRICS counterparts, because South Africa, if you compare ourselves with SADC, we seem to be doing extremely well. In terms of size, we're the biggest in SADC. We are sitting at 1.2 million hectares. We have 149,000 people employed directly in the sector. So that's higher than Zimbabwe, higher than Eswatini, higher than all the SADC countries. They're not even coming close. But the comparison we always do, because the forestry industry competes in the global space. So we compete with Europe, we compete with Brazil, we compete with China and so on. So it's always better to measure ourselves there. If I compare ourselves with China, just the plantation space, China is sitting at 46 million hectares. So they are 40 times of what we are. They are huge. India said about 32 million. So they are 30 times bigger than us. Russia is 17 times bigger than us. Brazil is about 4 times bigger than us, sitting at 4.9. And we're sitting at 1.2. We are a very small player if we compare ourselves production-wise with our BRICS counterparts. In terms of technological advancement, we're there. We're higher in line with the rest of the world, and even in line with countries that are ahead in forests like Sweden, like Finland, and so on. So that those are the leaders in the global space. We're directly there with them, pound for pound. And I think the advantage we have is that some of our bigger South African companies are multinational companies. So they have operations all across the world, and that technology gets transferred so quick to South Africa. So we're not late adopters of technology in South Africa when it comes to forestry, because we're there. And the other thing that makes us leaders or be amongst the leaders is the way we conduct our research and development. All the members of Forestry South Africa, which account for about 93% of the products that are here in South Africa, they do research cooperatively. So they work together when it comes to research. So all non-competitive or pre-competitive research, we work together. That's one other thing that takes us up there when it comes to technological advancement. So we're ahead of any other African country, and we are there with the leaders in the world when it comes to research, innovation, technological advancement.
That's quite impressive. You know, as a fellow South African, it's quite heartwarming to hear. I'm so glad that we're having the conversation. But let's look at, you know, the role of the sector when it comes to rural development and job creation. Thinking about the figures that you've mentioned and the positive shifts in the industry, one would think that the forestry industry plays quite an important role when it comes to rural development and job creation.
I think we do. We play a very important role there. What makes it extremely good is that most of forestry operations are in the rural space. So that's where we are. We're in the rural space. So if we create jobs, we create jobs where jobs are really needed. It's the places where we really need the jobs. If I can start with maybe employment, I think that that would be an important thing. So we look at economic contribution in a number of ways, but what is key to us is our contribution to employment. I go back to my first initial figures that this is a sector that operates only 1% of the land space in South Africa. Yet if you look at our contribution to employment, it is not just slightly, but it is far above that. We employ 149,000 people directly employed in the sector. I don't know what would be the metric today to say maybe one person who is employed has four other people that rely on that person for their livelihood. So you can multiply that by four. Or in some cases, you multiply that figure by seven to see that this is the contribution of the sector. But that's not all. We also have employment down in the processing sector throughout the value chain. Because forest is not just the operations. There's people that work in breeding. There's people that work in the nurseries. There's then the plantation space. Then there's transport sector. Then there's the processing sector. So we only calculate just the directly employed people. There's an additional 63,000 people that are employed in other parts of the value chain. So if we look at this, then we usually think of ourselves as contributing 1.6% of South Africa's workforce. So being a sector that works on 1% of the land and producing 1.6% of South Africa's workforce, we're punching in a whole lot above our weight. So that's the thing I wanted to mention there. The way we've calculated dependency, we said about 3.39%. I don't know who came up with this number. But this means over 500,000 people in this country are dependent on just the forestry part of the value chain. So that's a huge contribution when we think of it just in employment. But that's not all. We made products. From those products, we sell them, and there's huge gains for the country in terms of income that comes into the country in terms of taxes and so on. The South African forestry sector is a 38 billion sector. So with the forest product contributing about 0.6% of the country's GDP, so that's the contribution we make as a sector. Part of it is in the pulp business, part of it in the paper business, part in the solid wood and others like roof trusses and so on. But mainly another part that is in the other lucrative products like we call the dissolved wood pulp. The kind of products that we make from there are unimaginable. I was talking to a group of students just last week on a Saturday. There was a career day somewhere down at Umzimkhulu, another rural village in the border of KwaZulu-Natal and KZN. And I told them that the thickening material in yogurt is made from gum trees, that's dissolved pulpwood. So when I told them that some of the capsules, we know these pills that are sometimes too colored and they are easily dissolvable when they reach your saliva or reach your mouth, that is chemical cellulose that comes from eucalyptus trees. Clothing that comes from eucalyptus trees. A lot of pharmaceutical products come from eucalyptus trees. And I even told them that the cigarette filters in your cigarette, the filter there is made from dissolved pulpwood, also from dissolving pulp. That's basically wood. So these are the products that people would not normally think it's a wooden product. Mm-hmm. So it's there in wood, it's there in pharmaceuticals, it's there in clothing, and it's there in entertainment. So some of the material in paint, dissolving pulpwood there, the one that is almost crazy, some of the screens of cell phones, they're made from the same material. They're not plastic, they're not wood, they're not glass, but they're made from that material. Products that come out there, and people would not normally think that these come from trees. We think of ourselves being a 38 billion contribution to this country's GDP. It's not much, 0.6, but we think we play our part. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely sounding to me a lot more like a very exciting industry where a lot of innovation is happening, just listening to the number of byproducts that you are talking about. And hopefully, you know, this is also encouraging new entrants to get into the forestry industry. Is the forestry industry seeing new entrants into the sector?
Huge numbers. Some of these products are so lucrative and some of them are just out of the world. People would never think of this normally as products from trees. So we're seeing a number of people coming in. Right now, because of our power or electricity crisis in South Africa, well, we see these biochar coming up, a lot of other things which were not normal products 5 years ago. So we're seeing a number of things, and there are new entrants in the sector, in the processing side of the business, but as well in the growing side of the business, which Forestry South Africa represent. if you see our country for a long time, the forestry space was dominated by a few plants. But we see now people in their own backyards, in their own little spaces, in their communal lands, growing timber for processing. So we have about 20,000 new small-scale timber growers. These are people that grow timber from like 0.2 of a hectare to about 600. As individuals, they're in their tiny space, they grow timber because the value chain looks so good and there are many options in there. It's not just paper, timber, and charcoal. It's broader than that. There's a lot of entrants coming in and they do require a bit of support, but we see people getting interested in the set, which is good.
And I suppose there are many success stories that you can share about growers and agro processes in the industry. Just roughly take us through some of the positive stories that you see within your industry.
I'm one of the lucky few that have been in the communities, worked with the communities, and then worked in corporate forestry, worked now on the national space and international space. So I love the examples that are coming from this very small scale villages, people that only came into the sector after 1983, because before then, there was no forestry in the villages and so on. People did not participate. I think a lot of people have told this story about a community called Mabandla community. This community, as we speak now, they employ about 100 people on a permanent basis, 30 of them on temporal basis. But they don't only have timber plantations. They have timber, they have livestock, which all grew from the timber. So the story is they started with the timber. So they made a bit of money from the timber, just growing timber and then selling it to other people to process. But later on realized that the need of this community is crops. So they used some of these proceeds to go into agriculture. They realized again that our livestock, we don't have good breeding stock, we don't have good vet care, we don't have good supplementary food, and even our feedlots are not well fenced. They used the proceeds of the forestry business into the livestock business. They continued, and now they have ecotourism. They've now used some of their timber proceeds, their timber, to create cabins. This is an attraction to tourists. This was established in 2014. So they now have eco-adventures, which is owned by the community again. So they align this with all the resources they have in their rural landscape. They do kayaking, they do river tubing and so on, bird watching, canoeing, hiking in their own village. So they have these eco cabins or these eco adventures. It all sprang from the forestry business. They now have a training center as well. And guess what? The buildings are made of wood, the closest material, and their material that is produced locally. So they have training academy. They have ecotourism, they have crops, they have livestock. It all started from a forestry business. So there's a number of such communities. I know of another one very close to the coast around the Eastern Cape, but those were lucky because they then claimed a piece of land which was a reserve. So they also have tourism because of their reserve. So they line these things together. So there's quite a number of success stories when we look at the employment in the community, when you look at the other enterprises in the community that spring up from the forestry business. But these other successes, which we don't normally see as successes. I know of communities now that whose primary schools or whose neighboring schools are much better than they were before there was a forestry business in there. Because the leaders were then taught simple things like how to run a meeting, how to be effective in a meeting, how to manage a business on behalf of a community. And they take the same skills and they put them, they apply them in their neighboring school. And they now become the members of the school governing body because they've learned that skill. And then the school improves and it's better off in such ways. So Some of these successes are just skills learned through the forestry business, which are transferable to any other business or to any other enterprise for social good, like a school and so on. So those are some of the successes that are there in communities that come up just because of the entry of forestry into a village.
Norman, it's sounding to me that I've been missing out on an industry that is very exciting, and you've definitely, you know, excited me to want to know more about South Africa's forestry industry. And definitely after this conversation, I'll be doing some research and to seeing where's the innovation happening, where's the technological advancement happening. So I'm quite interested to know more about that. We've been having the conversation about the industry as a whole, the challenges, but also the impact it is having on communities and growers. What are your hopes and expectations for the future of South Africa's forestry industry?
I'm so fortunate that 6 years ago, I was asked to write up the social contribution of our sector. And some of these things I didn't know myself. I've been in the sector for a very long time. I then drafted this document in 2018, which we do every 3 years. We call it the CSI narrative or the corporate social investment narrative. So there we don't only pick the figures of what we do, but we also pick up the stories. We follow the stories. So you get wonderful stories of just the social contribution of our sector. This is more like giving the people a helping hand for themselves rather than, it's more like another way the people are helping government to do what government ought to do, but as a social good. So it's quite an interesting thing. So if you've got time to read, look for the CSI narrative of the forestry sector. It's such a wonderful document to learn more about these stories. And we table some of these stories. Cannot document all of them, but there's like maybe 100 stories in each version of the CSI narrative. And your question is about what is my hope? What are my aspirations for the future of this industry? My hope and looking forward is to see more of the new entrants getting the support that is required for them to be in the business sustainably. About 100,000 new hectares of potential area for forestation has been mapped out in the country, but we are not moving as fast as we should. And most of that land is in communal land. It's where communities are. This is where the people need the jobs. This is where the people need the money from these lucrative products. So I would really hope that we engage on a program that is not business as usual in this afforestation program. I know countries like China and countries like Brazil, they really ramped up their afforestation program. So what we plan to do in 10 years, they do it in 37 days. I looked at the afforestation program of Brazil, and I realized that we only thinking of 100,000 hectares. They've done more than that in a few years, and we had mapped it over 10 years. So I would really hope for something more than business as usual in our afforestation program, because what that does, it does two things. One, it brings in the jobs and the money where it is needed the most. And two, it also transforms the sector, because as you look now, you may think that the sector is dominated by big corporate organizations, which is different from other countries. If you go to countries like Finland, for an example, there are more family-owned timber plantations than corporate-owned timber plantations. So it's a reverse. In South Africa, it's still the other way around. Companies own more of the forestry and families own less. But if we were to ramp our afforestation program by learning from countries like China and India, how they did it, I really look forward to that. And in my mind, I have mapped it out, how it should happen, which departments must come together, how they should plan the entire thing to make it easier for the owners of the land or for the people that have access to communal land to go into the sector. But I also hope that we would have more of processing plants in the country and process our products to the finish at times. We got a huge market just above us as South Africa. SADC and the entire Africa is our biggest market. Timber is good for our environment. Timber is good for climate change. Timber is the way to go if we want to be sustainable as a country. We talked about biofuels. Timber is one of the good things for clean energies. If one have clean water, if one have, and so on. Timber or trees is the only material that sequestrate carbon dioxide more than anything else. So if you want to remove carbon, if you want to reduce our carbon footprint as a country, that's the way. So I think my hope is we ramp up our afforestation program and we align it with an equally ramped up entrepreneurial program for further processing and so on. And we also don't lose sight of our sustainability practices. I go across many countries in Africa and I see that South Africa is ahead when it comes to sustainable practices. The way we practice forestry in this country, we think economy, we think environment, and we think social. So we think people, communities, we think the environment and so on, water, terrestrial bodies and aquatic bodies. And we also then think money. So we're such a balanced sector. I hope we don't lose that. We don't just look at the social advancement at the expense of the environmental advancement. So I hope for those three things. Sustainability, a ramped up afforestation program, and a ramped up entrepreneurial program. That's my hopes.
Thanks, Norman Dlamini, Business Development Director at Forestry South Africa. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. That's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Food for Mzanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.